You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. When I am all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. As I go down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your
Good morning. Oh, is it back? Needed a child. I've struggled. I went down and tried to pray this morning. Mark the 12th chapter. And to pray and try to read and everything that's in me, I tried to get a message text. How do you know? During the night, the Bible teaches us that God will deal with man in the night hours, play slumbers, bed. I couldn't get it out of my head last night as we left this place. Full of vision, I study every little thing. Him couldn't have called probably any more strange preacher than he's called this week. I study every little thing. Last night as he brought these children back again, they began to sing Jesus Loves Me. I was so impressed. He took the time to get down on his knees and bring them up to him and to hug them. I love them. Bible teaches us that one place the little children came into Jesus and the disciples that were around him, they rebuked him and told him to go away. The Lord said, let him be, and brought him unto him, placed him in his lap and put his arms around him. And such is the kingdom of God. He taught us that no man can enter into heaven except he humble his heart and become a little child. I've got great fear this morning. It's easy to say we're going to try to follow the Lord. It's a harder thing to try to follow the Lord. A couple of years ago, the Lord began to deal with me as I was going down the road and a song come on the radio. The Lord deals with me in different ways, and all I can be is me. I love to preach and get all excited and feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But I'd rather follow the Lord than I had anything else in the world. I don't try to be somebody else, and I don't try to preach like this or that. When I just try to do and abide in the call, the Lord called me therein. Let me read in case I get my way. The first chapter of the book of Revelation, John's exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was caught up in a place that I'll encourage you, if you hadn't been in a while, to get caught up in the Spirit sometime on the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. The Bible said he was caught up in the Spirit, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and began to reveal the revelation, not of John, but of Jesus Christ. He showed him. I want to begin reading the first chapter. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And I know that's a very familiar scripture there, the appearance of Jesus Christ unto John, his servant. And I want you to do something with me. I pray that you've got enough confidence in us. I want you to follow along with me through the Word of God today. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I want you to go with me today and try to hang with me. This is exactly the way the Lord showed me a couple years back, and I want to try to share it with you. As I watched these children come up, and I thought about all the little kids that were present last night, and I prayed that they'd be back today. Because I thought, as I prayed this morning, this come on me, I began to argue with the Lord. I said, Lord, I've preached on that before, and I've struggled with this before. But he said, I want you to go and share it just like I've shared it with you. A couple years ago, I was going down the road, and there's a song come on, and I remember it from a child. I love it very much. It's country music, a star named Dolly Parton. And I'll share with you just a couple of lines from this song. This is what the Lord, as soon as I heard it, the Lord began to deal with me. In her line of her song, she says, the more that I look around me, the more that I do look, the more that I realize today that I'm looking at God's coloring book. And I want you to think with me today just a moment. If you'll come to me just as humble as a little child, I want the Spirit of God to come in this place. And I want you to humble yourself as little children today. And I want you to think maybe as the Spirit of God is in this place. I thought as these children come up and they place themselves in Tim's arms, and last night that vision come back to me. I want you to go with me, not in foolishness, but I want you to sincerely thank this morning that the Holy Spirit has sat down with you today. And I want him to put his arms around you this morning. And I want him to bring him close. I want him to bring you close to him this morning. I want him to begin to whisper. And I want us this morning, if you'll have it today, God showed me this message, and I don't know what else to do, Tim, but to try to share it with them this morning. I want you to sit down in the lap of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to know today, as my children sat in my lap when they were little, I want us to open up God's coloring book today. And I want us to find what John saw, him that was, him that liveth, and him that liveth forevermore. I want you to know today that Jesus Christ has always been from the beginning. And I want you to sit down today and open your coloring book. I want you to get your crayons out. Every child likes to color. And if you've got children, if you like it or not, you get to color with them every once in a while. The Bible tells us in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, I want to show you the first page in the coloring book. It's a beautiful picture. It's a picture of a Garden of Eden. It's a picture there of paradise with all manners of trees and good things, all the living creatures that God made and created. And there in the garden, you'll find a man and a woman, Adam and Eve. And I want you to know that God gave him a commandment. He said, of all the trees that you keep in the garden, you can freely eat. All the trees you can take of. But he said, of one tree I want you not to take of, and that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, I want you to get your green crayon out this morning. I want the Holy Spirit to guide you as he guided me. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. I lost my mind a long time ago. And when I sat down in the Spirit of God, brother, as a little child today, he's took me through the pages of his coloring book, and I began to see the colors and the visions. Take a green crayon this morning. I want you to go in the very midst of the garden. In the midst of the garden, you're going to find a tree like no other tree. The Bible said there in the tree, in the midst of the garden, there's a tree of life. And there in the middle of the garden, that tree blooms, and I believe it blooms evergreen all the time. I believe it never fades. Praise God, I'm here to tell you that picture is a picture of Jesus Christ. It never dies. Brother, it's alive forevermore, and I want you to paint it green. I want you to color it in, and I want you to see the beauty of it. I want you to realize that if they had chosen that day to take Jesus Christ and take of the tree of life, brother, they'd have lived forever. They'd have been in perfect communion with the Lord God. They would have had everything for as long as they wanted if they'd have just chose Jesus, the tree of life, in the midst of the garden. And I want you to look over the next page. There's so many pages in God's coloring book that we'll never be able to color them all. But I want to share with you about four or five that he wants me and you to find him in. You'll turn the page, you're going to find another beautiful picture. And in that picture, you're going to find a picture of the ark upon the waters. The Bible said that man's thoughts continually grew worse and worse. They continually begin to be all evil. But the Bible said that when God looked down and seen sin upon the land, that it repented him that he made man. But the Bible said there was a man named Noah, and Noah was different from every other man. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible said that he gave Noah some instructions, and he built an ark of gopher wood. And the Lord sent the rain. Every child here that can hear me, you know the story of Noah and the ark. How God sent the floods down, and the rains began to come. And every living creature except Noah and that of his family that he brought into the ark, and those of the living creatures that God gave him instruction that were safe inside the ark, brother, they all perished because of the flood. And the Bible said there was 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and the rain descended, and the ark come up. But brother, after the journey went out, and after Noah prayed, after Noah went in, and after God shut the door, the Bible said that he began to send out that of fowl that they might bring back forth proof that God had sended the rain and brought life back into the earth. There's so many things in this picture I wanted to color with you. I thought about the dove as it went out. But then as I read on in the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis, I want you to look. There's one place that I want you to color in, and this is one that's fun to color for every one of us, because you can get the brightest colors in your life, the brightest colors that you can imagine. And the Bible said that God told him, he said that he'd never destroy the land with water again. He began to talk to Noah, and he said, I'm going to give you a covenant. I'm going to make a covenant with you, but I'll in no wise destroy the earth again by the flood of water. And I want you to know today, he said, this covenant I give to you, I'm going to place my bow in the clouds. And I want you to take your reds and your blues and your golds, and I want you to color in the beautiful rainbow that the Lord sent. I want you to know that that covenant that God sent down, saying I'll not destroy the world in anger and fashion like this again, was none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the covenant. Jesus Christ is the covenant of the New Testament. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. Because of him, there's not a destroying way, but because of him, there's a covenant that we might live. It's something that deserves to be colored with all the best colors you can find. I want you to go with me a little farther as we turn the page. And I want you to think today, as I thought as my little kids used to color, and I turn the page with them, we'd begin to color, and I'd think, well, we're going to color this page. But when we start coloring, they'd get tired of coloring. They'd color one thing, then they'd move on to another. If you tried to go back to that, they'd get irritable, and they'd want to go. And you know, sometimes we just need to catch bits and pieces of the picture. Bible said over there in the book of Exodus, God had sent Moses down to deliver the children of Israel. They had been in bondage to the Egyptians for so long. The Bible said by the way of their cry they came, and the Lord heard their cry. And brother, he sent a deliverer down to them. And I thought as I looked at the picture, I thought maybe the first time the Lord showed me this, maybe he wanted us to color Moses. But I'm going to tell you something. Moses was the man that went. God spoke to him face to face. And Moses was the one that brought the deliverance. But brother, those that delivered the firstborn of the land that day wasn't Moses, but it was what Moses instructed him to do. It was the lamb, the perfect lamb, the unblemished lamb. Because through all the curses and through all the things that God sent down, the plagues on Egypt, he said, this one more plague I'll send. He said, I want you to do this. I want you to tell the children, the Hebrew children, to take a lamb, a perfect lamb. I want you to put him up, keep him unblemished. I want you to take that lamb, and on a certain day when I say, I want you to kill the lamb. The Bible said, I want you to take of the lamb, I want you to eat of him, and I want you to waste nothing thereof. But the Bible said that I want you to take some hyssop and take the blood of the lamb and strike it over the lintels of the door and the side posts, because I'm going to pass through the land. And when I pass through the land, brother, everywhere I don't see the blood, the firstborn of that house is going to die. I want us to take a crayon tonight. I want us to maybe color this lamb perfectly. I don't want anything messed up on it. Every once in a while, children will get outside the lines. But I want you to know that this lamb was perfect. This lamb was unblemished. This lamb deserves our perfect care and our attention. And I want you to color him just as white as snow. I want him to be perfect in every way. I want you to stay in the lines. I want the Holy Spirit to guide you today to understand that this lamb is without blemish. He's perfect in every way. Brother, there's no sin. There's no spot in him at all. I want you to move on with me in the next one. The kids, I want you to kids. And when I say kids, every one of us, I want you to see something that I believe that the Lord wants us to color in. It's a story that gets preached on a lot in God's coloring book. I want you to see a young man named David, and he just seems like he's so small in the picture. You know, across the page from him in the other picture, there's a giant of a man standing there with all forms of evilness about him. And I want you to see as David's got a sling in his hand and one stone in the sling. The Bible said he went down to the brook when he took off the armor of Saul because it wasn't proven. The Bible said there he chose him out five smooth stones from out of the brook. And I want you to see in the sling that David had used before to slay the paw of the bear and the lion, I want you to see there's one stone, brother, in the sling. And I want you to paint that stone white like you did the lamb. And I want you to realize today that that stone represents Jesus Christ, those that couldn't stand against the giants in their lives. And brother, I'm going to tell you today, they still giants in our lives today. But if we're going to defeat the giants in our lives, we're still going to have to use that stone. Paul said, that rock is Christ. David said, you are my rock and my fortress and my stronghold. And I want you to know today that that rock is Jesus Christ. And if you could see the rest of the story after you paint it white, David let loose of this stone and it hit the giant in the forehead. He fell before him, and David took his sword and took his head off of him. I want you to know today there's giants in every one of our lives. But Jesus Christ wasn't just the perfect lamb. Jesus Christ wasn't just the tree that give eternal life. Jesus Christ wasn't just a covenant or a promise to come. But Jesus Christ is before us every day. And brother, if we face giants in our life today, I want you to know, Church of the Living God today, that if we'll sling him and put him before us, brother, there's nothing that can stand against us. There's not a giant in the world that can't be overcome. There's not a problem that's too big. There's nothing that can defile the armies of God if we'll go in Jesus' name. I want you to think so many places. One of my favorite pictures in the Bible, one of my favorite pictures in God's coloring book, is from the 42nd chapter of the book of Genesis. There you're going to find a young man named Joseph that's a ruler of all of Egypt because of the wisdom and because of the vision that God gave him. God gave him a vision and showed Pharaoh, and Joseph interpreted it that there's going to be 7 years of plenty and there's going to be 7 years of famine. Brother, because of the years of plenty, there's going to be an abundance come in. There was going to be an abundance of corn, and Joseph took of the corn and laid it up in the storehouses. And brother, when the time of famine come and there was no food to be found, brother Joseph was able to open up the storehouses and pour out the corn that had come in a time of plenty. I want you to take a yellow crayon with me this morning, and I want you to color in the kernels on that corn today. Because I want you to know today, Jesus Christ was represented in that corn today. He's still a bountiful supply. He's still one that in times of need and in times of famine, brother, he's go back to the well of supply. As Harold preached about the other night, it's an uplifting spring. It's an ever-bubbling spring. It's something that never wears out today. And I believe they still corn down in Egypt. Amen. You go on a little farther, and there's so many. I'm not going to stay in all that long. There's so many we could color in God's coloring book. But the thing I'm after you to see, and I want the Holy Spirit to guide you in, that Jesus was from the beginning. He's always been with us. This isn't some created way in man's imagination. This isn't some philosophy that educators have come up with to make folks feel good. This isn't some science fiction figmentation of somebody's imagination that something's going to happen. Brother, it ain't about something that's going to happen. It's something about what happened. It's something about what's happening now. And brother, it's going to happen one day if people believe it or not. Go on with me now. We're going to go to the New Testament. There's more pages there than we can cover. There's so many places we could cover in the miracles of God's work. We could color in the clay where Jesus anointed the blind man's eyes and he came seeing. We could color in the bedpost of the man that the four brought to him, lame and wounded. But brother, Jesus spoke the word and he arose and carried his couch out from the way he come. There's so many places we could color, but I want you to go to the most important page, I guess, in God's coloring book that you and I have to always recognize. On this page, the Bible says, on Golgotha's hill, a place called Calvary, there they crucified Jesus Christ. They hung him on a cross between the heavens and the earth, and on each side of him, two thieves. If you'll turn the page, you're going to find three men on a hillside on crosses today. One is wicked, one is repentant, and one in the middle is absolutely perfect. You'll see a picture of a man wanting to get out of trouble. You'll see a picture of a man wanting to get into heaven. You'll see a man in the middle, brother, that knows both their hearts, and you'll see that he's wounded, he's beaten, he's scarred. Now, this is something I want you to do that a lot of teachers won't have you to do, but I want you to take a red scarlet crayon, and I want you to color over the picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. You can scribble. You can mire it up. You knew the worst job you can do. I want you to be sloppy for a reason, because he was beaten beyond recognition. He was scarred and wounded for our transgressions. Brother, he took upon us the sin of the world, and it was ugly to look at. It was the perfect Lamb of God that we saw in the back pages as the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God. But today we see the blemishes, not of his, but of your and I's today. On this cross, that ugly picture. There stands. Calvary was an ugly place. Calvary was something that was so harsh to look at that those that beheld it, those that loved Jesus, a lot of them fled away. A lot of them left him and they went away. The Bible says those that stood by behold him. The Bible said a lot of them wagged their heads and said, surely if this man was who he said he was, he could come down from this cross. But there was one that stood by and through the mars and through the scars, through the blood, through all these things, he looked at him and he seen a man that didn't open his mouth. He seen a man that didn't complain. He seen a man on a cross that looked up into the Father and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In this beautiful picture, with all of the ugliness, he saw the Son of God. He saw Jesus Christ. I want you to look on the next page beside of him at the people gathered around there. And I want you to do this with me. There's a spot on the picture. The Holy Spirit showed me there's always room on the picture. Because if you go to the Calvary, brother, it don't do you no good just to find everybody else. I want you to find the place at the cross that you're at today. And I want you to look, and it's already been colored in for you. It wasn't your choice. If you've got to the cross at Calvary, if you've hung with me, if the Holy Spirit has guided you, brother, if you found yourself at this page, there's room for you at the cross. Brother, you ain't got to color it. The coloring has already been done. Sin is something that we don't have to do. Sin is something that's already been done. Sin comes into our life through genealogy. Sin comes into our life as soon as we reach the age of accountability. Sin was passed on from generation through generation from that man Adam in the garden who chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was the one that was disobedient, Lord, and through him and the law and all the things that Jesus Christ and the Father sent, brother, sin comes into our life. You're going to see that you're stained. You're going to see that you're marred. You're going to see that on your picture, you might say, preacher, that don't even look like me. Listen, I'm looking at it through an eye of faith today, and you need to too. There's nothing perfect about you in this picture, but I want to share with you something today that's amazing. I want to share with you the good gift of God. This isn't no regular coloring book. Brother, they reprint it. They're coming up with their own versions. They're doing all kind of things. But I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God is still alive today, and in it is still miracles today. And if you'll do this with me, if you'll take the page and fold it upon one another, if you'll touch the cross, if you'll come under the blood of Jesus Christ today, open the picture back up. See what you see. Oh, your sins be as scarlet. Oh, you be marred. Brother, if you'll notice today, if you've been to the cross, can be made white as snow. You can be made white as snow. That's a miracle. That's a gift from God. That's something that men can't do. That's something that all the preachers in the world can't do for you. But brother, only the man in the middle is the only one that's able to do that. You have to touch the cross. You have to touch Jesus. You have to get to a place to where you're willing for Him to come into your life and be a part of your life. You've got to be willing, listen, to accept Him who He is with all of the scars, with all of the trouble. You've got to realize today that He didn't do this because of Him. He done this because of you. Finish with me, and I'm about done. Remember when the Lord gave me this? I got down on my knees and I began to cry. Thought about all that God had done for me. David said one place, he said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Lord, how could I ever repay You? Just a little of what You've done for me. Throughout the time, You promised me that I might have life. You give me a covenant and You said that there's a way and a promise. You fed me when I was hungry. You've took care of the giants in my life when they were too much for me. Lord, You went to that cross and You died there for me. And Lord, when I believed on You, You covered my sins and You made me white as snow. You made me perfect when everybody else knows that I'm imperfect. But God, it's not me now. It's Your perfect living through me." In the last two pages of God's coloring book, I want you to see what John saw. There in the throne, there's coming a picture one day after a while. He said the beginning and the ending. Listen, what He started, He's going to finish. On the throne, among all of His glory in heaven one day, I believe when we die and we close our eyes, if you're a child of God, I believe our spirit is immediately transported by the angels in the presence of the Lord. But I also believe that one day after a while, because God's a perfect promise keeper, and He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I'll come again." I believe He's coming back one day. And I believe the spirits and the souls of those that were in His presence, and I believe we've got a personality. I believe we've got a perfectness about us. I believe we're going to know one another, and I believe it's going to be a good time. But you know what I've always found about the Lord? He don't stop with a good time. Brother, He's got a great time in store. And I believe He's coming back, and brother, I believe He's going to gather His jewels. Those that's already dead in faith, they're coming with Him. Those that died with the promise, brother, He took up on the third day out of hell. He took them with Him into paradise. And I'm going to tell you something else. When He comes back, if you're remaining, the Bible said you'll be changed in a moment and twinkle of an eye. And there we'll be with Him in the clouds, and forever there we will be. And I'm going to tell you what, when we do that, I believe the soul is going to be in the presence of the Lord, and I'd be perfectly fine with that. But I don't want to stop there. I want you to see on the second to last page, you see God in all of His glory. It's something a lot of children don't understand. And when I say children, I'm talking about any age group. How they could be a God, how could they be a Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see a picture that John saw there when he was arrayed in a white robe with a golden girdle strapped around him. Brother, his white was hair was white as full of snow, and his beard was white as full of snow. He was perfect every way. Brother, he was unblemished again. Brother, he was in a perfection like he was that day as the Lamb. He was as perfect as when John saw him, said, "Behold the Lamb of God." But this time there's something different about him. The angels saw him, and they said, "Behold the," John saw him, said, "Behold the Lamb." But the angel showed him, he said, "Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah." We're going to see Him in all of His glory. We're going to see God the Father. We're going to see Jesus Christ the Son. And we're going to see the Holy Spirit. They're going to be one complete Father. Amen. I believe that's what John saw picture. Last page is the best picture of all. On the last page, the picture, it's hard to look. You have to really look close. There's a multitude that no man can number. There's a number of those that John saw, and he said, "Who are they? He's arrayed in the white robes." John said, "Thou knowest." The angel said, "These are they that come out of great tribulation. These that have had their sins washed away, and now they've got robes white as snow." I want you to know that, listen, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're in that number. I want you to go through the number, and I know it may take a while, because as you look through it, I'm going to tell you what I love about the God today, and I thought about these children up here with Tim. As you start through the number and you start looking through the picture, you might find mom and daddy. You might find brother and sister. You might find loved ones that went on, because if they died in faith, nobody's going to be left out. This picture's big enough. Heaven's going to be big enough to take everyone that put their faith in Jesus Christ today. Every one of them's going to be there, but the most important thing I want to ask you today is, can you find yourself in the picture? Can you find yourself in the picture? Are you around the throne? Are you around the throne? I want you to sincerely, while the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart right now, I want you to sincerely tell yourself, the Lord already knows, are you in that number? Are you in the picture gathered around the throne on that great day? Because if not, I'm going to tell you right now, as they get a song, as Brother Tim and Harold comes on, you have got to, right now, you've got to back up. You've got to make a step. You know what the step is? Turn back and go to the cross. Go to the cross and make sure that if your sins aren't covered, if you don't know this man Jesus, if you've never taken him upon yourself, if you've never believed in him, if you've never been born again, if you've never been saved by the grace of God today, right now, if you don't, will not be in that picture. Not be in that picture. I promise you, in the authority of God's word, nobody is going into the marriage supper unless they've got a wedding garment. Nobody's going to sneak into heaven. As many think they can climb up some other way. But Jesus said, I am the door of the sheepfold. No man entereth in lest he come by me. There is no way to go lest we go by Calvary. Church is just trying to get the cross out. It's offending so many people. The blood is something that people say we don't need anymore, and it scares our children. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said it last night. It impressed me beyond measure. Listen, scared shouldn't be of being saved by the grace of God. Scared ought to be about dying and going to hell without the blood of Jesus. Be nothing scary about the blood of Jesus. There is a multitude of sins that are redeemed those that love him. You in that last picture? You in that last picture? That song, she said, the more I look around me, the more I do look. I'm looking every day. Every day I see him more and more. Every time I look into a child's face, I see the glory of God. I look around this world with all of its wickedness, tribulation, trials, and troubles, and I realize that God has never left me. He's never forsaken me. There's never been a picture in my life that if I'd searched diligently enough, I couldn't find him. And there's never been a place in my life, and there's never been a place in the Word of God. Listen, there's a lot of religions, and they get all mixed up, but there's one thing about the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother, he's never left out. He's always the center. He's always the one that we need to color. He's the one we need to look for. He's the one we need to trust. And this morning, if you don't know him, he's the one you need to call upon his name, believe with all your heart, and brother, he's the one that'll save you this morning. All I've got, brother. Our brother Tim, as we sing. Pray you listen to us this morning. Pray that you felt the wooing of the Holy Spirit. He's been real in my life. I'm very, Tim, the other night, we went out to have pray, and he started crying. He said, I'm sorry, I cry a lot. I thought to myself, Lord, don't apologize to me. I went without shedding a tear for 9 years one time. I was so bitter. I was so hard. I was fighting my calling. I got so in such a bad place that I was not able to shed a tear for 9 years. Now I go down the road, and I hear a verse of a song. I start crying. Can't pray without crying. I wish that I didn't pray out loud sometimes and cry. I ruined my voice several years ago in revival. I destroyed my voice. It'll probably never heal up. That's my thorn in my side. Harold said his knees by my throat gives me fit. I thought this morning I was praying. I thought, Lord, let me preach on 12. Let me do this. But this is what the Lord had me to bring to you this morning. Have you found him in your life? You know that you're among that number. I can find myself on my Friday night when I was at the cross. I know that I was there. That last page, because of an eye of faith, brother, I know I'm going to be amongst that number. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I know I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did in my life, not what I've done. The only thing I ever done was I bowed and I asked Him to please come in. I asked Him to forgive me of my sins, and I asked Him to not let me die and go to hell. I asked Him to be with me, and brother, I made Him all kind of promises. Lord, if You'll do this, I'll do that. I believe when somebody wants to be saved, they want it worse than anything in their life. I believe they'd give anything in their life to be amongst that number if they recognize the beauty and the greatness of it all. Believe it? Are you there this morning? The more I look around me, the more I do look. I realize I'm looking at God's color book. It brings beautiful pictures of my life. I'm looking forward if the Lord tarries is coming and keeps me among the living. Can't wait till tomorrow to see what God's got in store for me. I know He's going to be there. I know there's a lot of people, and I've said it the other day, I had to repent. I had an awful day coming up. I was troubled. This one was happening. This was happening. It seemed like everything, those woes, woes, woes. That night as I lay down, I thought, I dread getting up and seeing tomorrow. I dread even getting up tomorrow. Now, I don't know what come over me. Listen, just because you're a preacher don't mean you're perfect. I got such a dread about it. And that morning when I woke up, I had the awful sick feeling in my life. And I got up and I went and prayed. I thought, oh God, forgive me. Today's a beautiful day that You've made, and You're going to be in this somehow. I don't even know where I'm going to see You at today, but I know that if I look for You, I'll find You. Hey, you look for Him. Message, if you're lost, you ought to come. Ask the Lord to save you. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to rejoice in knowing that He's in your life and He's real. What all have you colored in your mind? I thought about all the words of the Bible. I thought about all the stories I've read. How many times I've colored in picture where I found Jesus in it for my life. That's the most important thing. Not what this man's felt and told you of his life, but what you found in your life when Jesus is real. Let's sing one more verse, if we will, Barry.